Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf ayin. We should be at the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Ches Amud Beis. We're not there yet. We're going to get there. We're a little bit behind today, as per our regular schedule. But in the meantime, we're in Samach Ches Amud Aleph. We're on the bottom of the Amud, and we are in the middle of the following discussion. We are engulfed in a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva regarding Machshirei Karban Pesach. I mean, the Karban Pesach itself is Docha Shabbos. That's a given, everybody agrees to that. There's nothing to disagree with. The Torah says b'mo'ado. The Torah says that you have to bring the Karban Pesach in. It's a point of time. So we know that the Karban Pesach, when the 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, you're going to bring the Karban Pesach. That's not for discussion. However, what is for discussion is what about the machshirin? What about the preparatory activities involved in getting the Karban Pesach ready for Shechita? So as the Mishnah gave a number of examples, notably three examples in the Mishnah, carrying the Karban Pesach over to Yerushalayim, bringing it from outside of Tchum, or cutting off a yabelis, cutting off a wart off the animal. These are preparatory activities. Can they be done on the Shabbos themselves? So that's a major machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says yes, because Rabbi Eliezer Lishitasa says that you could do machshirin, and Rabbi Kiva says no, Rabbi Kiva says you cannot. On this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, there was a lot of dialogue in the Mishnah, going all the way back to Samach Hamad Beis, going to the top of Samach Vav Amad Aleph. So there was a lot of dialogue between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer on this issue. And some of the dialogue got a little heated. There was a heated debate between the Tanaim. Yesterday's Daf Samech Tes, we saw more of the dialogue. We quoted a couple of Toseftas yesterday where we saw more back and forth between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer on this issue. The issue became so heated and so sensitive that at one point in time we saw in yesterday's Daf, Rabbi Eliezer even cursed Rabbi Akiva over this very issue. In fact, it was a haunting statement that was made by Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Akiva. Look, you're arguing with me about Shechita. You know, maybe your life is going to end with Shechita. So and the Kachayin, of course, as we'll see in just a couple of weeks when we go over the Asara Haruge Malchus, Rabbi Akiva's fate. But it was a very, very heated discussion between the two. That took us basically to the end of Samech Tes Amud Aleph, where we continued with this discussion. The Gemara is bothered by the following question. If you take a look back at Samech Tes Amud Aleph, and you go back about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, a little bit more than that, the Gemara wants to know, V'hazah my time lo dachi Shabbos. Okay? Why isn't Hazah going to override the Shabbos? Meaning, it's the 14th day of Nisan. This person is Shvi Shalom. This person's 7th day of his Tumas Meis is coming out on Shabbos itself. So the Gemara now wants to know, simple question. So why not have him be sprinkled on Shabbos? So Michti, the Gemara is bothered, Tutula Be'amahu. It's Muktzah. I mean, again, I say Muktzah, maybe Muktzah over here isn't the right word, but it's some form of Issur Derabbanan, Tizchei Shabbos Mishum Pesach. And all you have to do is sprinkle this person with the Paraduma, and he'll be ready to bring the Karban Pesach. So why not? This is a simple question of the Gemara, why not? So I'm a rabbi, Zerushama Yilana Viyavir, and Arba Amos Bershus Rabbin. So the first proposal of the Gemara, we saw this first part yesterday, but this really brings us back to the discussion. So he says, well, maybe you're going to carry it for Amos and Bershus Rabbin, and so therefore it's a gzera, lest you violate the Malacha of Hotzah. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar Ne'avdi, Daham, Rabbi Lazar Machshir Mitzvah, Dochen Zashab. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Remember, this is all within the discussion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer has no problem with us doing Isure de Araisa. So Amre, Hani Milehecha de Gavra Gufe Chaze, Verami Chiyuve Allah, Avahacha de Gavra Gufe Lo Chaze, Lo Rami Chiyuve Allah. So the Gemara gives the Yesod, a fundamental principle within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So now let's organize and summarize Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. He allows you to shech the Karban Pesach on the 14th. He allows you to do machshirin, but, and this is an important but, the person that's doing it must be in a state of chazi. He must be fit to bring the Karban Pesach. You see, this particular person in question, he's tummy. Now, granted that he could be sprinkled with the paraduma, and granted that by tonight he'll be fine, but right now he's eino chazi. He's not fit to bring the Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you could do whatever you want to bring the Karban Pesach, even machshirin, but you have to be in a state of fit. You have to be chazi in order to bring it. This person is not, therefore he cannot do anything. Nan isa daraisa, nan isa darabanan. I'm a rabba. So that's the yesod. And really, from this point going forward, we're going to challenge the Yisod, we're going to question the Yisod, but that's the Yisod of the Gemara, that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to be in a state of chazi, of being fit to bring the Karban Pesach. Amar Rabbi Lediv Rabbi Eliezer, katan bari macham lo cham la havros alam ola b'shabbos taha chazi lei, katan chola, ein macham lo cham la havros alam ola b'shabbos taha chazi lei. So the Gemara, Rabbi says, based on this principle, so that would mean the following. A baby on the eighth day is going to get a bris milah. If it's a healthy baby, so you'll do whatever you need in order to get him ready for the bris milah, including heating up the water, giving him a hot bath, making him even more resilient and stronger for the bris milah. But what if it's a weak baby? What if it's a chola? So then you can't warm up the bath because right now the baby is not fit. So I'm a Rav V'Ibar Yehul Amalicham L'Havroso. So Rav says, I don't agree with the whole premise. This is Rav arguing with Rav. I don't agree with the whole premise. Ela I'm a Rav HaKol Cholin HaEtzal Mila Echa Kan Baru Echa Kan Chola Ein Mechamim Lo Chamim L'Havroso L'Amol B'Shabbos. So Rav says, look, every baby is really sick, not sick, but really weak, in a weakened state, and is not really ready for the Bris Mila. We do the Bris Mila because there's a mitzvah in the Torah to do so. Okay, there's risk. The Torah says that we assume such a risk. Okay, but every baby is basically a chola regarding the bris milah. And so therefore, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, before the bris, there is no heter to heat up water on Shabbos in order to bathe the baby. The halochazi, because right now at this point in time, the baby's not fit. Period. Okay. This is where we got to yesterday. And now we're gonna continue with this discussion. So again, now we're explaining the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're allowed to do not only malachas regarding the shechita of the Karban Pesach, but even machshirin. But you have to be fit. You have to be chazi. So Eisrei Abaye. So Abaye says, how about let's consider the following. Aro shalomal anishkaris divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, let's have the following scenario. Let's say you're a gadol, you're an adult male, and you happen to be an arel. For whatever reasons, your father didn't give you a bris milah, and you, at this point in your life, you have not yet received a bris milah. And now we know, the halacha is very clear, the Torah says it a number of times, an arel can't eat the Karban Pesach. Arel lo yochal bo. So now, let's consider the following. So now, here we are in Erev Pesach, he doesn't have a bris milah, and now he doesn't bring the Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Eliezer, it's a Braisa, Shita's Rabbi Eliezer. What does he say? He's Anush Karis. He's subject to the Karis penalty. Okay. Take a look at the bottom Rashi. Right? Rashi, were four lines from the bottom. The first wide line. Bishlosh ayaroi l'sakim evav shos mizaman d'shchitas ha-Pesach. Ulamala v'lo nitken. This person, why is he going to get the Karis punishment? Because he should have fixed himself. Meaning he was in a position where he was an RL, but he could have easily taken care of it. Now, compare it to somebody who's either a Tameh or Derech Rechoka. You see there, that person's not going to get Karis. Because they, prior to 6 hours, meaning in the morning, they didn't have a chiyuv. In the afternoon, they're exempted. So this is not comparable. So Rashi's just striking a distinction between Tamei Derech Rechoka versus the Arel. But what do you see over here? Alma, Alpha Gavdalo Chazi, Rami Mitzvah Aleha, Hechadash Lemitkan Vahaza Lemitkan. So, but what you see here clearly is that if you're an Arel, you could have easily taken care of the situation. And you didn't, you're chayav kares. So now compare and contrast that to the tamei. So can we say regarding the person who's tamei, where the seventh day falls out on the 14th day of Nisan? So he's in a position where he could take care of himself. So he should take care of himself, much like the aral should take care of himself. And Rashi goes on to explain this, to point this out. The hazar nami tidcha shabbos daha mitzvah rami alei letaken. This person has a means of fixing himself, so he should. In other words, let me put it really simply. What's the difference between an Arel and a Tamei? An Arel, Rabbi Eliezer says, if he doesn't tend to his Arelus, if he doesn't give himself a Mila, he's Chayav Karis. Having the opportunity to correct his situation prior to Pesach and he doesn't do so, he's Chayav Karis. So the Tamei, If he has a way of correcting himself, shouldn't he do the same? And shouldn't that then mean, shouldn't that dictate, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that even if the 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, okay, but correct your situation. You should get sprinkled with the paraduma so that tonight you'll be able to eat. What's the difference between an RL, where Rabbi Eliezer says he's chayv kares, versus a Tameh, where Rabbi Eliezer basically says, that's okay, let's move along. That's the question. Okay? And so to this question, the Gemara is basically going to give two answers. The first answer is complicated, and the second answer is very straightforward. But
in every case of the lafosi, where you could fix it, no? Not every case where somebody...
Correct, not every case. But these are two cases where...
Not every case?
I'm saying...
These are two cases
where for sure, we're sure correctable. Right. In other words, right now we're just talking about RL versus Tame. Okay, again, not every Tama. Right.
But not every person with the lafosi can fix it. Right?
Correct. But in other words, in these two cases he could. Right. And meanwhile, Rabbi Eliezer says for the RL, he needs to fix himself. For the Tame, let's move along. We'll go to Pesach Sheni, it's fine. Okay, good. Right. Not every case, but we're really talking fundamentally, conceptually. These are two basic cases where you could, and for some reason, Rabbi Eliezer holds you responsible with a kares penalty if you don't fix yourself. That's RL. But Tameh, Rabbi Eliezer basically says, look, I understand you're not fit. We'll move along to Pesach Sheni. What's the difference? Okay, two answers to this question. The first one is a complex answer. The second one is a lot easier. But we'll spend more time on the first answer. The Gemara will, I should say. So here we go now, answer number one. Answer number one, Amar Rabba Kasav Rabbi Eliezer, and Shochem Vizorken Al Tami Sheretz. V'kol Shekain, I'm sorry, I made up words. Right. Ein Shochem Vizorken Al Tami Sheretz. So here we go, answer number one. Our starting point is the following. You don't shecht or sprinkle the Karban Pesach for someone who's with Tumah Sheretz. Meaning, even though Tumah Sheretz, right, even though tonight, what's his going to be a story tonight, he'll be fine. Tumah Sheretz only requires you to tovel the mikvah, wait till the evening, and by the evening, you're fine. So let's say now I have a Karban Pesach, and the person that I'm going to shecht it for is Tumah Sheretz. Ein shochtim v'zokin al Tumah Sheretz. So we start off with, you can't do it. Now, Here we go. Two rules. V'kol she'ilu b'yachin nidche b'tzibra avde b'tuma. Rule number one. If by an individual, he gets pushed off. So if we had a complementary scenario by a tzibor, you would do it in a state of tuma. That's rule number one. Okay, so rule number one. Whenever in a singular situation, by an individual, he gets pushed off, if the same scenario happened for a community, we offer Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah. Rule number two: Kol milsa daasya b'tzibur, the isa b'tzibur, isa b'yachid. V'chol milsa daleisa b'tzibur, leisa b'yachid. And anything where you have by community, you have by an individual. And anything that you don't have by community, you don't have by an individual. Okay, those are your two rules that we're going to operate with. Now let's take a look at Rashi together.
Does that contradict
that? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi now at the very top of Samach Tav Samad Beis v'hachi perusha. Rashi says, "Here's pshat." This is all an explanation of what's the difference between Orel versus Tameh. We cannot compare the obligation of sprinkling versus the obligation of getting a milah. Why not? Why are they not comparable? The mitzvah hazak de lasos pesach lo ram yad sibor. Because let's look at it this way. Let's not say that an individual's tameh. Let's say the community's tameh. What happens now? We don't sprinkle anybody. What do? We bring the carbon pesach as is. The entire community's tameh? Okay. So now we'll bring the carbon. Sharei mutar lasos b'tuma. Because we know, we've said this time and again, right? Tuma hushab et sibor. Fine. Afa pishiyachon li taher dekasav Rabbi Eliezer in shochtim zorken al yachid tamisheret shalotava v'afa pishiroi la'erev v'chein al tamim eshechal shvi shalot liyos b'erev ha'pesach sharoi nami la'erev v'tamisheret's not going to... Rashi just simply points out, We could have also explained the Tamei Meis case, but the but right now we're like to focus on the Tumah Sheretz because that's less controversial. We shouldn't deplok the Gabehu beperek Aisha because Tamei Meis is subject to a machlokus, which we'll see later on in the Masechta. But in the meantime, however, the kevin de kasavra in shoktav zoken ala yachid ela nidcha l'sheni. So now follow. So now we start. Our starting point of the discussion is that if you have someone who's a Tumah Sheretz, so you're not going to shech, and you're not going to be zork for that individual. Rather, the individual gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Al karchach sibra osin betuma. That means that if I had the same scenario, this is rule number one. If I had the same scenario by a tzibor, so we would offer Pesach betuma. Im yirtza dechosh b'yachin nidchev sibra osin betuma. Because remember, the rule number one is that if the individual gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni, the community would be offering it on Pesach Rishon. Okay. Ama lo ramya mitzvah azad de pesach atzibur. Okay. And what does that tell me? That tells me that if I had a community who was Tamei Meis or Tumah Sheretz, either one, we would not be sprinkling anybody. Okay. Good. So, and now we move to rule number two. Umilsa de leisa bitzibur leisa biyachin. Now, if we don't have that by the community, we're not going to have that by the individual. Rashi explains, mitzvahs pesad yachal l'chol Yisrael namar, right? Because the Karban Pesach is for the entirety of the Jewish people. So that means that if I won't sprinkle a community, I won't sprinkle an individual as well. Aval arelos. Okay, so that in other words, so let's summarize Rashi's point over here, which is just an explanation of the Gemara. Rashi explains that when it comes to sprinkling someone who's Tamei, no, we won't do it. In other words, it's sprinkling is not, I'm going to be careful about how I say this, but it's not important enough. It's not pressing enough. Again, go over the two rules. Rule number one is that if the Yachid is pushed off, the Tzibur would just simply offer in a state of Tumah. An individual who is a Tumah Sheretz gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. If the community was Tamei Sheretz, we would offer the Karban Pesach as is in the state of Tumah. And then rule number two: well, if I don't have it by community, I don't have it by an individual. Meaning, if by the community we're not going to bother getting everyone from a state of being Tamei to being Tahor, so by an individual we're also not going to bother. So in other words, by the individual, he'll just move along to Pesach Sheni. So you see, when it comes to sprinkling the with the paraduma for the Tamei Meis or the Tamei Sheretz, it's just, in other words, it's not something that needs to be done for Pesach Rishon. He'll just simply move along. He'll bypass the Pesach Sheni. Let's compare that to Arel. Let's read on in Rashi. Aval arelus delo nidchei tzol tzibor velo huchul asus Pesach arelim v'ilu kulu tzibor arelim amrina lehu kumumalo. Let's imagine, it's hard to imagine, but it did happen historically one time, beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. Let's imagine everyone's in Arel. Now what? So now, right, we're not going to simply say, okay, this year we'll bring Karban Pesach in the state of Arelus. No. We're going to say to every member of the Jewish community, you got to do Mila. Yachinami Amrina Lehu Bechol Kumahu. So if that's true by Tzibor, that's certainly going to be true by Yachid, because remember, rule number two is, whatever's true by Tzibor is going to be true by Yachid. So now, if we say the community, you need to get a mila, we're going to say it's the same thing to an individual. You need to get a mila. Vaza de Tzibor, lo Amrina Lehu Kumazu. Okay. Very good.
Why is the Tumah the same thing? Since it's simple, things about Tumah, why is the individual thing about Tumah? That's why it sounds simple. Or Milsa, Isa, the Tzibor. Right?
Isa, right.
So like Batuma, they bring...
No, because...
Isa, but it's not. They don't bring...
Yeah, but you... In other words, you can't... In other words, the first thing you start...
I understand, right,
but you start with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that if an individual's tummy, he gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Well, the only point the Gemara is making over here is that if by the Tzibor, our position would have been, you don't need to get Tahor. So by an individual, we're going to say the same thing. You don't need to get Tahor.
Right.
Meaning, you can get pushed off. In other words, it is not a consequential act for you to remain Tamei. You can remain Tamei and get pushed off. You see, by Arel, we wouldn't say that. Because by the Arel, even if the entire community was an Arel, we would say, we don't get a pass.
So So,
right, okay.
But it would seem to me should have worked the same parallel with Tumah, but you say no.
Right, right.
A side question, during the 40 years that they didn't do Pesach, mm-hmm. what happened? I mean, there were some that...
Didn't offer Karban Pesach.
No, but there were some that they had the Pesach already in Egypt.
Right, but Rashi says it, I think the Gemara says it. I mean, in other words, they didn't offer Karban Pesach for those 40 years.
Even
for the individuals.
No, the individuals. There were some individuals from Israel.
Yeah, correct. Understood. But remember, though, in other words, not only the halacha is that not only do you need a bris milah, but every member of your family needs a bris milah. If there's a member of your family that doesn't have a bris milah, you can't bring the Karban Pesach. Right. That's again. We haven't ironed that out in the Gemara yet, but that's the halacha. So, in other words, if you have a kid without a bris milah, you can't bring Karban Pesach. Okay, anyway, the equalate Sibar Arelim Nino Armin Luhu, come back to the Gemara. And the Gemara now, I know I read it all in Rashi, but now the Gemara is going to spell it out. The Leisa B'tzibar Leisa B'yachet. Arelos, fourth line down. The equalate Sibar Arelim Nino Armin Luhu, come Amalu. So when it comes to Arel, and let's say the community was an Arel. Okay, we say to the community, we're not bringing Karban Pesach until everyone gets a milah. Now, Shaykh of Avid Pischa. Yachinami, Armin Aleikum Ma'al Vavid Pischa. So we would say the same thing to an individual as well. Vilo Ma'al Vavid Enosh Kares. And therefore, that's a consequential act. If you neglect to get a milah, so now you're on the hook. Now you're subject to. Now you're subject to Kares. However, Tomei, the Kula Tzibra Tomei Ninu Lomadin Alaihu. Let's say the community is Tomei. We're not going to. No one's going to get sprinkled. We're going to bring the Karban Pesach as it is. El Avdi Betuma Yachinami Pater. So that means now, if for the community, we're not forcing everyone to become Tahor. So for the individual, same story. We're not going to force the individual to become Tahor as well. And therefore, it's not as consequential for someone to remain Tameh going into Pesach. There's not going to be the Karis penalty. So answer number one, okay, this is as I pointed out, a complex answer. Answer number one to the question. The question is, for Rabbi Eliezer, you can remain Tameh. You don't have to become Tahor. But an Arel, if you remain an Arel, you're Chayv Karis. So the question is, what's the difference? So the difference is that, first of all, understand the equation between Tzibur versus Yachid. If by a Tzibur it's a non-negotiable item, the same thing is true, going to be true by Yachid. For a Tzibur, if it's a negotiable item, so then the same thing is true by Yachid. Arelus, non-negotiable. The Tzibur has to get a bris milah. Mm-hmm. So an individual has to get one as well. And if he doesn't, it's Chayv Karis. Tuma, negotiable. By a Tzibur, not everyone has to become Tahor. The community can remain Tameh. Same thing is true regarding the individual. Okay, he can remain in a state of tuma, and he will just simply move along. That's answer number one. The Gemara is not going to. In other words, answer number one works, but only if you accept the rules. Right, the two rules that the Gemara brought us on the top of the Amud. Amalei Rav Huna Breda Rav Yishula Rav Avare Pesach Shena Deleisa B'Tzibur Visa B'Yachid. This relationship between Tzibur versus Yachid. First of all, is that even true? Meaning, look at Pesach Sheni. Is there a Pesach Sheni for a community? No. The answer is no. Right? There is no such thing as Pesach Sheni for the community. If for whatever reason the community misses Pesach Rishon, that's it. Right? The makeup date of Pesach Sheni is only for individuals. Okay. So isn't it funny that, in other words, you have this whole rule that there's a relationship between community versus individual. It doesn't seem to be. Pesach Sheni seems to already tell us that there isn't that connection. The Gemara says, no, that's not a good question. Because Pesach Sheni is really just a continuation of Pesach Rishon. Meaning, yes, there was a communal Karban Pesach. That's called Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni is just a makeup date of Pesach Rishon. So that the Gemara says that's not a good question. Meisvei, the Gemara says, okay, that may not be a good question, but what about the following? I might have thought that the only one who's subject to Kares penalty is somebody who is A, Tahor, and B, was proximate to Yerushalayim. Meaning, think about it. What does the Torah say? If you're Tameh, or if you're Bederech Rechoka, you get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Which means that if you're Tahor, and not Bederech Rechoka, you're proximate to Yerushalayim, you're subject to the Kares penalty. Okay, and maybe only those people are subject to the Karis penalty. Arel, Tamei Sheretz, Shar Kol HaTamei, Minayin. What if I'm an Arel? What if I'm a Tamei Sheretz? And I just simply neglect. I'm not going to get a bris milah. I'm not going to become tahor. Tamei Lomer v'ha'ish. So the Torah says v'ha'ish, meaning an individual, regardless of reason. Meaning if he's neglectful to take care of whatever situation he needs to take care of, and he doesn't bring the Pesach Rishon, he's going to be subject to kares.
And he has the option to rectify the situation, but he doesn't.
Right, correct. He has an option to rectify, he doesn't rectify, subject to kares. Now, midika mehadar tamei sheretz kasavar, ein shochtem v'zorken al tamei sheretz, di shochtem v'zorken al tamei sheretz, lama lila adura aleh. So, hainu tahor. So the Gemara says, first of all, it's clear from this braisa that he's tamei sheretz, which, as we know, means that tonight he'll be fine. And meanwhile, what did the braisa say? The braisa says that you can't. In other words, he didn't take care of his situation. You could have easily just said shech the carbon pesach on his behalf tonight. He'll eat it. The braisa doesn't say that. So clearly, the braisa is working with the supposition that you can't shech the carbon pesach for him. Ama delo chazei chiyuvala. And so what do you see? We see that he's not fit, and meanwhile, let's say this was a community. What would be for the community of Tamei people? We would bring the Karban Pesach. For the individual? No. So you see that this relationship that we try to establish at the top of the Amud, that whatever's true by Yachid is true by Tzibor, whatever's true by Tzibor is true by Yachid, it's not true. This braisa clearly indicates that it's not true. Ela Amar Rava, Kasav Rabbi Elazar, Shochem V'Zorken HaTamei Sheretz, V'Hu Adin LaTamei Meis B'Shvi Shalom. So now, answer number two. So again, the question is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what's the difference? What's the difference between an Arel, where Rabbi Eliezer says, oh, if he doesn't get his bris milah, he's going to be chayv kares, and the Tamei, where Rabbi Eliezer says, it's okay, stay Tamei. What, he had a chance of sprinkling the paraduma? No. In other words, the Shabbos, don't do it. And you'll just go to Pesach Sheni. What's the difference? So the now, answer number one was this attempt to say, well, Tuma by Tzibor, we're going to offer the Karban Pesach. So Tuma by Yachid, well, he can't offer the Karban Pesach, he's a Yachid. But in other words, he doesn't have to go through the trouble of getting sprinkled. And he'll just move along. Because whatever is true by Tzibor is true by Yachid. We poked a hole in that principle. So now we move on to a second answer, second approach. This is Rava's approach. So he wants to argue as follows. So the truth of the matter is that really you can shech the Karban Pesach for somebody who tonight will be fit. So why not sprinkle him with the paraduma even when the 14th day of Nisan falls on Shabbos? Hazal lamai la'achila, achilas psachim lama akva. So the Gemara says, because look, you sprinkle him. Why would you do that? So that he can offer the Karban Pesach? No. No, the only reason why you're sprinkling the paradum on him is so that tonight he can eat. Eating is not ma'akev. Now, I know that goes against a lot of what we said earlier in the Masechta. We said that the Karban Pesach's primary purpose is to be eaten. We did say that. And we said the mitzvah of eating the Karban Pesach is an essential component of the Karban Pesach. We said that as well. But if you don't eat, it doesn't take away the fact that you brought the Karban Pesach. It's not a ma'akev. So therefore, if the purpose of sprinkling is only so that I can eat, and if I don't sprinkle, I'm not going to eat, okay, not the end of the world. Meaning, you'll just simply bring the Karban Pesach and not eat it. When it comes to Arelus, however, there's nothing to talk about. You're simply not going to be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Karban Pesach if you remain in a state of being an Arel. So the difference is very simple. By an Arel, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. By Tumah, you did fulfill the mitzvah. Again, under the assumption that you are a Tamei Sheretz, or you're on the seventh day of your Tumas Meis, so you did fulfill the mitzvah. Period. So he says, but isn't that weird now? You're shekling a Karban Pesach over a group that can't eat it. Didn't we say a couple of weeks ago that you can't do that? In other words, there has to be consumers of the Karban Pesach.
Majority.
He says no, because you have to define what does that mean, non-eaters? Yeah. Non-eaters means they physically cannot eat it. Here, he can eat it. It just happens to be that he's in a state of tuma. It's a halachic impediment, but it's not a physical impediment. And in terms of this principle of shalala ochlav, it's only for people who physically cannot eat it. He's a zakin, he's a chola, he's old, he's sick, that's why he can't eat it. But if he can eat it, it's just that there's a halachic impediment, that's not considered shalala ochlav. Okay. That's the end of a very long sentence. Okay? And again, comes out now that according to Rabbi Eliezer, as much as you can do to offer the Karban Pesach, even Machshirin, what you can't do for it, says Rabbi Eliezer, is do any malacha, not even an Isser the Rabbanon, for somebody who's lo chaze, somebody who is not fit, which is essentially it would be the Arel, it would be the Tamei, somebody who's not fit. And then what we tried to uncover is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, then why is it that for the Arel, why does he receive Kares? Isn't he lo chaze? So the Gemara goes over differences between somebody who's an Arel versus somebody who's Tamei. Two approaches of the Gemara, good.
Would a vegetarian be what category?
It's funny. While you were gone, I asked the very question. I don't know the answer, but I also had the same thought process. I'm Klala my Rabbi Akiva, and now, right, Hedy, your favorite time of the Gemara. Who do we follow? Who do we follow like Rabbi Akiva? Do we follow like Rabbi Eliezer? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm a Rav Alachik Rabbi Akiva. Okay, good. That's simple. Okay, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. And now we go back to the 19th parak of Shabbos, and same conclusion. Same story regarding the mitzvah of Mila. Anything you could have done before Shabbos, you must do before Shabbos. Anything that has to wait till Shabbos, i.e., the actual Mila itself, that you do on Shabbos.
It was
Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yeshua happens to agree with Rabbi Akiva, and you're right. Rabbi Yeshua was a generation earlier, but for whatever reason, we call it Shitas Rabbi Akiva. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav Halachik Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav says, and that's a halacha as well. Okay, which only prompts the Gemara to ask the obvious question, the one that we see time and again throughout the Gemara, right. And that is, why repeat yourself? Meaning, once we know that the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva vis-a-vis Pesach, shouldn't we already know now that the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Kiva vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Mila? Utsricha, the Gemara says they're necessary. The argument you may make is as follows. As important as Karban Pesach is, you could argue Mila is even more important. Because there are 13 covenants that are created over the mitzvah of Mila. The mitzvah of Mila symbolizes the bris, meaning it's both literal and figurative. It's the covenant between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara throws out the number 13. If you open up the Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Vayera, you will see the word bris mentioned 13 times. Okay, so for lack of a better term, it's more important. So you could argue now, yeah, Rabbi Akiva by Karban Pesach won't allow you to do machshirin, but by Mila, no, that you need to do machshirin. V'yashmina Mila hasam hu de machshirin mitzvah lo dachu Shabbos, so like a kares of a Pesach deika kares, ema litchu tzricha. The counter argument you can make is, well, regarding the mitzvah of Mila, there's no kares. Regarding the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, there is kares. And so therefore, maybe Rabbi Akiva would allow you to do machshirin for Karban Pesach because failure to bring the Karban Pesach results in kares. Now, one must ask themselves the obvious question. The Gemara just said, you know, by Bris Mila, there's no kares. What do you mean there's no kares? There is kares by Bris Mila. So if you take a look at the concluding Rashi on this discussion, Rashi writes, the lack of kares, there's no kares, lebo bayom im yamol amachar. Meaning, if a baby doesn't get a bris mila on day 8, but only gets a bris mila on day 9, so then there's no kares. True, if this continues until he's 13 years of age, true that there will be kares down the road, but the difference between day 8 versus day 9, there's no kares consequence. Okay, as long as we're talking about this, just to go over quickly, a basic machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. We know that for bris milah, if a male doesn't get a bris milah, so he's subject to kares. Okay, that's clear. When does the kares come? So this is, right? Huh? Oh, so right? So this is a basic machlokas amongst the Rishonim. So the Rambam writes, open up the beginning of Hilchos Milah in the Rambam. So the Rambam says that when is a person subject to kares? When he dies. If and when he dies without a bris milah. So in other words, he could be from 13 to 30, from 13 to 90. Doesn't matter how many years he's lived on this earth. He won't actually be subject to the kares punishment until he dies and not having received the bris milah. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ravid right there, take a look inside, the Ravid right there says it can't be. Can't be the Rambam's right.
It could be card after death.
Yeah, right. Right.
That's
right. That's correct. Correct. I'm just notifying. Right. I'm the messenger over here.
So I'm about like this, that the karet is neshama karet, not the karet.
Right. In other words, it could very well be very good. It could very well be that the root of the Rambam's position is that his understanding of karet has nothing to do with this world. Karet is all about the next world. Right, the Ravid says, because it seems obvious that the Ravid disagrees in terms of what the definition of kares is. The Ravid says, that's not kares. Kares means that your life will be curtailed, meaning you're experiencing kares in this world, which consequently will mean that your life will be shortened. So the Ravid says, the moment you're 13 years of age and you don't have a bris milah, now you're under the kares, you're under the kares penalty. Okay, basic machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid.
Yeah, I mean, you could even argue by Rambam that it could happen at any time, but it's still considered premature. Maybe the act could have been.
But you look at the wording of the Rambam. I mean, hopefully I'm doing a fair job presenting it. It's the beginning of Hilchos Milah, right? In the section of the Rambam of Ava. You look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes very clearly: you will not get kares until you die.
But the whole act of death is the point of.
That's again. Now you're good. Now you're back to the Ravid. You're arguing.
But even by Rambam, it's just that. It's a manifestation of karma. Your that person's death is a manifestation of karma.
Okay, I encourage you look at the wording. Okay. Correct. All right, we start a new mishnah. We start a new topic for today, and we enter into today's daf, and that is the following.
So the bottom line was the machshir and the arad lav.
Not correct. That's absolutely correct. Both by karm pesach and by bris milah.
Correct.
Here, Rabbi Yoshua's position. Okay. On the 14th day of Nisan, we bring the Karm Pesach. Now, we know that because we spent now only the last two parakim discussing that. The 5th parak and the 6th parak of Pesach so far has spoken about the Karm Pesach. There's another Karm that we bring on the 14th day of Nisan. Now, we call it the Chagiga. I mean, when I say we, I mean the Mishnah, I mean the Gemara. We call it the Chagiga. So to clear the air right from the beginning, we're going to call the Chagiga, but it's not the Chagiga. Now, if I'm already confusing you, I apologize. But in other words, but just know what is and what isn't the Chagiga. What is the Chagiga is that every Yontif, we bring a carbon, it's called the carbon Chagiga. Now, if you want to know more about it, there's a Masechta dedicated to this topic. It's called, the name of the Masechta is called Chagiga. Yeah, right? That's a good one. It's nice how that works out. So the Masechta Chagiga, we're actually going to talk about the Karban Chagiga. But that's the classic Chagiga that's born on every Yontif. Okay? Whenever you see a pasuk in the Torah that speaks about the Chagos HaMoso, in other words, and make sure to enjoy the Yontif, to relish in the Yontif, that's talking about the Karban Chagiga. Now, what is the Karban Chagiga? I'm talking in the classic sense. It's a shlamim. The Torah mandates that when we go to Yerushalayim on Regel, so we bring a carbon shlamim, and we sit down and we eat the meat of the carbon shlamim, and that's part of Simchas Yontav. By the way, there's in addition to the carbon chagiga, there's another carbon that we all have to bring, and that's what's called Shami Simcha. Shami Simcha is a shlamim that we bring to, again, rejoice in the Yontav. So there's a form of chagiga, there's a Shami Simcha. And as long as I'm discussing the obligations that a person has to bring on Yontiv, just one more carbon that needs to go over, and that is the Olas Re'iyah. the olas re'iyah is a carbon ola that every male adult has to bring when he comes to Yerushalayim on the yontif. So there are three carbonas in total that a person has to bring every single yontif: olas re'iyah, carbon chagiga, shami simcha. Good. That's in general. That's on yontif. The 14th day of Nisan, which is not yontif, it's erev yontif. So first and foremost, you got to bring the carbon pesach. Good, as the Torah prescribes. In addition to that, sometimes we're going to bring a supplementary carbon. We're going to call it the chagiga, because the Mishnah does and the Gemara does, but it's not the classic chagiga. It will not fulfill your obligation, the carbon chagiga. So basically every Pesach, well said, every Pesach you're really bringing two chagigas. You're bringing chagigas yedalid, which from this point forward, that's what we're going to call it, the chagigas yedalid. And then you bring the chagiga the next day on Yantif.
So is a supplementary for the...
Now the chagiga is yedalit, is a supplement to the Karm Pesach. Why supplement? Because let's say we're a big group, and all of us are going to get like a little bit of Karm Pesach. Thank you very much, but this is not going to fill me up. We're going to learn over the course of today's daf, and probably we'll speak more about it tomorrow, that the Karm Pesach has to be eaten al hasova. The idea is that when I'm eating the Karm Pesach, this will fill me up. But if all I'm getting is a small piece of meat, it's really not going to help me in terms of filling me up. So therefore, we have a supplement, and the supplement is going to be called Chagigas Yedalet. But let's start off really simple. Let's say we're a small group. Let's say we're two or three people. And I don't need the Chagigas Yedalet. And as we're going to see over the course of this morning, if I don't need it, I don't bring it. The Chagigas Yedalet is just there as a way of supplementing the Karban Pesach.
The other three korbanot that you mentioned, the shlamim and chagiga and riyah,
right,
they can't be used to supplement korban pesach.
No, because it's not yontif. Those are korbanos for yontif.
They're like brought in the
only. They're only brought on the 15th day of Nisan, right? All three of them. Although the olas riyah, okay. Now we're really. We're not off topic. I just, you know, obviously, I want to cover the Mishnah and the Gemara. But the Ola, no, because it's an Ola. In other words, we don't benefit from that. So therefore, it's pushed off to the 16th day. You bring in a Chol HaMoed. What about Shavuos? Okay, not now. Okay, I'm just pointing all this out because you're going to see the word Chagiga, and I want to make sure that we all understand. Right, it's not the Chagiga. We call it a Chagiga. But it's not the form of chagiga, it's chagigas yedalet. Okay. Now, emas amevi chagiga imo. Now, the Gemara later on is going to ask the question, what moved us to this topic? Meaning it's a great topic, it's an important topic, but what got us here? Why all of a sudden in the sixth parak of Psachim, where we've been talking about Karm Pesach, all of a sudden we just shifted over to the chagigas yedalet? What got us here? The Gemara is going to ask that question, and we'll get to that in a moment. I bring the chagigas yedaled, but only if the 14th falls on a weekday. It doesn't override Shabbos. Only if we're all tahor. In other words, if the Jewish people are bringing Karm Pesach in a state of tumah, the heter is only for Karm Pesach, not the chagigas yedaled, and muat. And that's only if everyone's getting a small piece of meat. But if we're all getting nice, big portions of Karban Pesach, then I don't need the Chagigas Yedalad. But if the 14th day falls on Shabbos, if the 14th day is bringing in a state of Tumah, or let's say we are getting a lot of Karban Pesach, so then we don't bring the Chagigas Yedalad. What animal can I use for the chagigas yedalin? Answer, any animal. It could be a small animal, a large animal, it could be male, it could be female, does not matter, says the Mishnah. Because it's not the Karm Pesach. The Karm Pesach is very limited. Karm Pesach can either be only a goat or a sheep. The Karm Pesach can only be male. The Karm Pesach has to be within its first year. But when it comes to the chagiga, says the Mishnah, any animal you want, it's a shlamim. Just give me a moment. And because it's a shlamim, how long can I eat it for? Anything. 2 days? One night? Okay.
When they have a small group of people, how do they do it? They have to be in a state of fullness and sava.
Right.
They want to eat the Karm Pesach.
Correct.
So what do they do? I mean, if they are not in Chagiga,
Right. So, right. In other words, if it's a small group, and let's say Shabbos, right? Right. So then what do they do? That's a good.
They have to eat it to become sova, not that they have to eat
well, hold on a second. We'll get to the sova. We'll get back to the sova. The sova is part of, big part of today's daf. We'll come back to it. Let's start with the Gemara. Mantana diktani chagiga tana har kavta vavta. I'm sorry. Mantana diktani chagiga. So the first question of the Gemara is, why are we here? Like, what prompted us to have this discussion? So the Gemara's answer is as follows. So tana har kavta vavta delo dachi shabbos viktani nami chagiga delo dachi shabbos v'hachi kamar. Meaning, because look, our perek, the sixth perek of Pesachim, is dedicated to what I can and cannot do when the 14th day falls out on Shabbos. So now, as long as we're discussing the do's and don'ts of 14th day falling out on Shabbos, here's one of the don'ts. Don't bring the carbon chagiga. V'achi kamer. Emes ha-mevini mo chagiga b'zman shu ba-b'chol b'tar v'mu'at. Good. That's what we're doing here. Amar v'ashi sh'mamina chagiga sar ba'asar lav chova hi. It's not an obligation. Meaning Rav Ashi is going to make what to us could very well be an obvious point, but it's but he's making the point. It's not an obligation. So if it were an obligation, like the Karm Pesach, so then I bring it. I bring it if it's Shabbos. I bring it for in the state of Tumah. I bring it even though we're all going to get big portions of the Karban Pesach. But bring it. It's obvious. And again, I know it's obvious, but Rav Ashi says it. It's obvious that it's not an obligation. Because there's sometimes when I don't bring it. Uvemur mi omai taima, asya. So the Gemara says, okay, now that I know it's not an obligation, so now I'll ask the other question. So why do we bring it? Kedetanya. So here's the answer. Chagiga haba mina pesach nechal tchila kedei shiye pesach nechal al hasova. Key line of the Gemara, really key line of today's daf. The reason why we supplement the Karm Pesach is so that by the time we eat Karm Pesach, we're eating it al hasova. We're eating it in a state of being full. Now, this only prompts the next question. Why? Well, no. In other words, you eat the chagiga first. Chagiga. Now, in other words, if let me make a comparison. Let's say your stomach has like one of those the gas tank meters, right? That you have in your car. So, in other words, the gauge. So, you want your stomach to be somewhere around 3/4 full, okay? With carbon chagiga, throw in a little bit of matzah, throw a little bit of maror, so that when you're eating now the carbon pesach, so that'll fill you up. Now, mind you, by the way, the Gemara later on in the 10th parak is going to tell us that you can't be full before eating the Karban Pesach. Meaning, the Karban Pesach cannot be achila gasa. You can't be full, really have no room for anything more. Okay, now I'm going to eat the Karban Pesach. No. It has to be that you have to basically get yourself to 3/4 full, and then the Karban Pesach is there to finish the job, to fill you up. Now, the question, that's what the Gemara says. But really, it prompts the next question. Why? What's driving this halacha? So it's interesting. Tosfos on this amud, the top Tosfos over here, quotes the opinion of the Riva, one of the Balei Atos, and he says, you know why? He quotes the Gemara Yushami. He says that the Karban Pesach has to be eaten ala sova because we know there's an Isser in the Torah of not breaking the bones of the Karban Pesach. Okay, as opposed to any other carbon, where I could break the bone, and you know what's underneath all that delicious bone? It's marrow.
Marrow.
Yeah, I'm a marrow guy. Okay, I think I've told you in the past, I've turned into a marrow guy. So it's considered right. It's considered meat. It's, and generally speaking, by carbon, you want it, meaning it's part of the basar of a carbon. So you're going to break the bone in order to get to the marrow. However, by the Karban Pesach, there's an Isser in the Torah Shvir Setzim. So the Riva says, let's imagine you weren't full. And now, right, and now you don't have a supplemental chagiga. And all you got was a little piece of Karban Pesach, and you ate it, and you're still hungry. So what are you going to do? So you're going to go to the bone, and I know the Torah says I'm not allowed to break it, but I'm starving. So what you're going to do is you're going to break the bone, and you're going to go for the marrow inside. So the Riva says that this halacha of the Karban Pesach has to be in ala sova is really driven by the fact that the Chachamim were worried we're going to break the bone. So therefore, we're going to be mostly full, eat the Karban Pesach, and I'll leave the bones alone. That's how the Riva understands this halacha of Nechal al Hasova. This is one Rishon's opinion in terms of why it is that we're Nechal al Hasova. I see a big discussion over here in the notes. The Rambam may disagree in terms of why it is that we're Nechal al Hasova, but at least on the daf, this is one reason. Okay, we'll have to stop over here. I know we're at the two dots. We fell further behind. Okay, tomorrow I'll make a big push. But tomorrow's topic, Chagigas Yedalid, and we haven't even seen it yet, but tomorrow we're going to be discussing the opinion of Ben Tema and his understanding of Chagigas Yedalid. Now, if you never heard of Ben Tema before, just know this. The Manishtana that we say on the Seder night, authored by Ben Tema. You don't understand what I said right now, come back tomorrow, you'll understand what I mean.